Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. Amen and amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for our praise and worship team. Amen. Amen. So thankful for them ushering us into the presence of God. Well, brothers and sisters, it is indeed a blessing to greet each of you on this morning here at Uplift Church. I am hog happy. I'm country, y'all, so I'm hog happy about our new sermon series called Relationship Status. I put it on social media. This is not your average relationship series. We're going to have some fun. We're going to ruffle some feathers. Somebody might get hooked up, but you'll find out about that in just a little bit. So don't come trying to find somebody right now. Focus on the Word of God. But we do believe this word will be a blessing in your life. Amen. And amen. Do me a favor, if you will, turn to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. When you found it, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. Last Sunday, we looked at Nehemiah as we closed out a series called Ambition and how the people stood. As a matter of fact, they stood from morning, which would have been before the sun got up, until noon. That was about 5 hours for them. They stood as Ezra the priest read the scroll. They did it to honor the reading of God's words. And for those who are able, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. I'm simply going to read one verse. Just put up verse number 18 for me, if you will. Verse number 18. Just going to read one verse for us. And this translation is the American Standard that you're seeing. It says, "And Jehovah God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." One more time. "And God said, it ain't good." That's the Marquez Ball translation. "God said, it ain't good for the brother to be alone. So I will make somebody for him." That's the word of God. The word of God is already blessed. Before you take a seat, do me a favor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Put a smile on your face. All right, here we go. That's good. I just got my tax refund check. Type smile. Look at that. Oh, face it. Somebody like, "Listen, I don't get no refunds." Act like you would have gotten one. How you would have reacted. Smile on your face and say, "Neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church. Glad you're here at Uplift. This morning's sermon is how to get hooked up God's way." Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Neighbor, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. This morning's sermon is how to get hooked up. Pause, wait for it. God's way. All right, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. How to get hooked up God's way. Will you pray with me? Fathers, once again, I stand to proclaim your word. Pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. Have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silent now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How to get hooked up. In this series, brothers and sisters, we're going to wrestle with a few things. Coming weeks, we're going to look at it's complicated. It's complicated when you marry, but you got somebody else pregnant. It's complicated. Look at that on next week. It gets kind of weird. It gets a little murky. We're going to look at when I'm wrestling with calling a good threesome or a side piece. We're going to look at that a little bit. We're going to look at my mind's telling me no, but you can finish the rest. We're going to look at some things that's going to help us understand a little bit more about relationships from a biblical perspective. But today, we're in Genesis chapter number 2. Singles, this one's for you. Take notes on this one. If you have been looking for a while, and you know, I came Sunday for this sermon. This one's the one I've been looking for. Give me the three-step, four-step process to find somebody. This one's for you. I remember when I was deployed to a place called Djibouti, Africa. It's on the east coast of Africa. It's right on the equator. When I got there, I'm pretty sure that as hell is any hotter than this, nobody should ever go. It was hot. And we got off the airplane at 3 a.m. and it smelled like the earth was on fire. It's right on the equator. I can remember walking out of my tent one morning and it was so hot, no clouds were in the sky, and birds were looking like, I ain't moving, it's too hot. It's hot in Djibouti, Africa. Now, there were French soldiers who were there, because at one point in time, Djibouti was a French-run territory. They would sell this dream to some of the Djiboutian women, and they would get them pregnant. Soldiers would go right on back home. They'd be pregnant. They would have a child that they could do nothing with. And they would leave the child on the street to bake in the sun. I can remember working at an orphanage, volunteered at an orphanage. And I would have to go in there and I would hold these fragile babies and simply do nothing more than allow them to be in my arms. The reason being is if they had never had human interaction, in essence, they would grow up to look like a human, but they would be void of all humanness. We are created as beings to relate to one another. God created us to be social beings, to interact and to relate with, or to be in relationship with one another. It's God's plan that we be in relationship. I'm saying it again. It's God's plan that we be in relationship, not in a relationship. God created us to be social beings. The text says that God created everything, and then God said it was good. This is interesting. God put the grass on the ground, painted every blade of grass, and God stepped back and looked at it, patted himself on the back, and said, "Yeah, that's good." God planted trees and how their branches would be made. And God stepped back and looked at himself because he didn't have nobody to look at. And God said, "Yeah, that's good." God put fish in the sea and birds in the air. And God said, "That's good." All through chapter 1, God created and God said, "That's good." God created and God said, "That's good." God looked at Adam and his singleness, and God said, "Oh, hold up, that's not good. It is not good for man to be alone." It's the first time after all of God saying it's good, it's good, it's good, God sees this brother who is single, and God said, "Oh, that's not good." Somebody here right now knows that to be true. You can put your name right here in the text. God looked at, insert your name, and said, "It's not good for her. It's not good for him to be alone." They're crazy. When the God knows, I need somebody. Somebody right now, that's That's your story. Right now, you're in this text. Many of us can agree with the statement that the text makes so much so that when we couldn't find a person, some of you started on Black Planet trying to find somebody. You tried to put single as your Facebook status. You even paid for the eHarmony subscription trying to find somebody that matched up with you, and you ain't found nobody. You tried blind dating, eyes wide open dating. You tried speed dating, slow dating, got mad and went to no dating. You tried everything and still couldn't find. You know this. That's my story. Stop telling all my business. So many of us can agree with the statement that it's not good for a person to be alone. Problem is that many of us try to fix it our way. You agree that God made us to be in relationship, but because it didn't happen when I was supposed to be married by now, I was supposed to have two children, because it didn't happen how and when and with who you wanted to. Many of us have tried to do it our way, and we ended up disappointed. But the Bible offers us some help. We learn a lot from Adam about God's intention for relationships. Okay, now, listen to this. I've got to do a bit of heavy lifting to make some important points. I got to do some heavy lifting, so I need y'all to walk with me because I want you to understand that there is a lot going on in this text. It's all right? Y'all going to walk with me?
Yeah.
Heavy lifting. So if you want to take some notes, you may want to take notes on this. This ain't the amen, yes, sir. This ain't that part. This is the heavy lifting part. I want you to check it out. Now, so we are in Genesis, the book of beginnings, and we are looking at a retelling of the creation story. You know, there's two creation stories in your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. Both times, creation story. So we're looking at a retelling. Genesis chapter 1 gives us the high view. God said, let us make man. Genesis chapter 2, God didn't say, God put his hand in the dirt and formed and fashioned us. And so Genesis chapter 2 is a retelling that kind of gives us the nitty gritty of what happened. So we see God take dirt and roll it around in his hand, and he forms man. Then he breathes life into him. Watch this. Then verse 8 up for me real quick. Verse 8 says that God put him in a garden. Y'all see that? Verse number 8, God put him in the Garden of Eden. God put him. Heavy lifting. Now, go down to verse number 15. Verse number 15. Then verse 15 says, God put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, or to dress it, or to keep it up. Y'all see that? God put him in the garden. And then verse 15 says, God put him in the Garden of Eden, in essence, to work it. All right. Let's unpack this. Let's unpack this. I need to deal with this word put. Put. It's a central part in understanding God's relationship process. We have a problem here in the text. For a diligent Bible reader, you will know that man did not have to work the ground until Genesis chapter number 3. That was the punishment for sin. So, and Jehovah God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. What's going on here? How is it that man's punishment shows up in chapter number 3, which is to work the ground and to till it, but now in chapter number 2, we see this? Great question. Let me explain. There is something called the Septuagint. The Septuagint is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. Septuagint, Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. The reason being is particularly even when Jesus walked around, that the common language is called Koine Greek. The common language was Greek. And so the way we translate certain things into English, they translated it into Greek. That's the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint, those people who knew Greek translated the Hebrew. And they got the Greek. Now, our English Bibles, many of them are based on the Septuagint. Y'all follow me? So, Septuagint, translated from Hebrew into Greek. Then we have our English versions of it translated majorly from the Septuagint. Now, I went to school to understand something. So when I began to do my sermon preparation, I began to go back and look at the original languages. I want to help us understand what's happening in verses 8 and verse 15. Now, Pastor, it's helpful for me as a pastor to wrestle with the original language. In verse 8 and verse 15, we see the word put. But in Hebrew, there are nuances to the word put. Same word, but two different kind of meanings. Verse says, put as in put in place. Verse number 8, God put him in place in the garden, as in to place someone there. Then in verse 15, the word put has a different meaning. The word put in verse 15 is used in Genesis chapter 19, verse 16, is used in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 20. It's the Hebrew word for put, and it means to rest and to be safe. God placed him in the garden to rest and to be safe. Y'all got that? All right. And now, not to bore you with more linguistics, do have the word, he placed him in it. From the Hebrew context, it has more to do with worship and obedience. So then, verse 8 says he put him in the garden, but verse 15 tells us why he put him in the garden. He put him there to worship and to obey. It teaches us that our first relationship has to be vertical before it's horizontal. Oh, that's good. Our first relationship has to be vertical before it's horizontal. It teaches us, brothers and sisters, first of all, that we've got to worship God. If you want to know God's plan and God's process to get hooked up, first priority number one is your worship of God. Adam found his safety and his comfort in his relationship with God before God gave him a relationship with somebody else. Many of us spend more time looking for a relationship with somebody than our relationship with God. Some of the issues that we might be having is finding a meaningful relationship is because we're putting people before God. And that's not God's structure. The Bible teaches us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. Your problem might be that you're spending more time looking for a bae, looking for a boo, than relating to God. The text teaches that he found his safety and his security and his relationship to God. How secure are you in your relationship to God? If you can't relate to God, you ain't ready to relate to somebody else. God has to be priority number one. Your understanding of relationship has to be vertical before it's horizontal. Adam found security in his relationship with God before he was in relationship with somebody else. You've got to put God first, step number one. Not only that, we see God have the right alignment first. Adam, relationship with God. Then we see something that many of us don't like. We don't like this. Secondly, we see he had to wait on God. Oh, this is fun. Check this out. Verse 18 says, God said it ain't good for Adam to be alone. Adam doesn't even know he's alone. Adam ain't never seen nobody else. This ain't even an issue for Adam. It's God that says it ain't good for Adam to be alone. You don't see Adam walking around talking about God, it's lonely down here. You don't see Adam running from different places, all in the garden, trying to pick up people and find new lines of what I'm going to say if I meet the right one. No. God is the one who says it ain't good for him to be alone. Now, he doesn't even know that he's alone. But what's interesting is verse 18, God says, it ain't good for Adam to be alone. Then verse 19, God starts creating other stuff. Hold up, God. Pause. Time out. What you can't do is tell me it ain't good for me to be alone, and now I know I'm alone,
and you just go off doing other stuff. Hold on.
So you see me alone, and you see it's an issue for me to be alone, and then you ain't go, next verse ain't gonna be, and God made, no. Next verse says, God created other stuff, and then Adam kept on naming it. Adam is alone. God notices it, and then Adam keeps on working. Some of us spend more time trying to find someone than doing what God has purposed for us to do. We get mad in the waiting time period. Notice, Adam wasn't walking around mad. Adam kept doing his assignment. In his singleness, he kept doing what God had purposed for him to do. Sometimes you ought to do what God has told you to do so you can get out of God's way and let God work. In his singleness, he worked. He wasn't worried about the weight because he was busy working. Wait, let me say something here. Before Adam had a boo, before Adam had a babe, me and the brothers talked about this on Thursday. Before Adam had his sweet thing, before Adam had his woman, his sister, girl, Adam had a job. Brother, you might not have somebody because job. So Adam, before God blessed him with somebody, he gave him a job. So have a relationship with God. Don't worry about the wait, and work while you are waiting. So maybe your issue is you just need a job. So first of all, we see that we got to worship God. We got to be willing to wait on God. Some of us get in the way of God because God ain't moving how we want God to move. It was God who noticed his loneliness, and it was God who brought the solution. So many times you and I try to play God because we want it our way right away. This ain't a Burger King type thing. Sometimes you got it your way right away, then you wanted to give it away. Sometimes we got to be willing to simply wait on the Lord. Then finally, after we worship God, our relationship is vertical before horizontal. After we've been willing to wait on God and work while waiting, thirdly is this, a willingness to give. We got to have a willingness to give. If you still selfish, you don't need nobody. If it's all about you, you ain't ready for a relationship. If you have the mindset, what's mine is mine and what's theirs is good. See, this is why you're not ready yet. God wants us to have a willingness to give. In the text, it says that Adam went to sleep, and God took from Adam to form Adam's blessing. Adam was willing to trust God and to give in the process. My brothers and my sisters, if you're going to have a serious godly relationship, then you've got to understand the importance of giving. And all married people said amen. And at least the brother said amen. And hey, pastor, I was good, but then I found somebody and she took. I'm happy, I mean, I just go home and I don't ask no questions. You've got to be willing to give. If you still cook for just solo, and you get married and wonder why brother don't really stay with you, or you get in a relationship and it lasts for 3 months and you ain't never fried nobody's chicken, it might be because you still aren't willing to. Okay, so you gotta have a willingness to give. Now, in Hebrew, he gave him an opposite. Okay, it's murky. In Hebrew, God gave. Hebrew context there is he gave him someone opposite himself. Okay, that's Hebrew. Now I take Hebrew. Let me give it to you in Negro. God gave Adam Eve. God did not give Adam Michael Kevin. That's the Hebrew context. You ain't got to like it. You ain't got to love it. You won't be mad if you want to. The Bible says that he gave him that which was opposite himself.
Yes, sir.
It was purposeful. It's Hebrew. You ain't got it. It's Bible. Get mad with God if you want to. I know it's popular and it's common to even preachers to make it seem like, no. The Hebrew context says he gave him opposite. Then look at who God blessed him with. Help me. Let me explain this. God gave him somebody that could complement his God-given purpose. Say that again. God gave him somebody that could complement his God-given purpose. purpose. God gave him someone that brought something to the equation. God gave him somebody that could help him meet his God-given purpose. God gave him somebody that brought something to the table. You got to get to the point in your life where you begin to say, listen, if you're not bringing something to the table that magnifies what God has created me from, we can't go nowhere together. No, we can't go out. You can't have my number. We can't be friends on Facebook. At this season in my life, I'm only looking for people that's going to complement what God has given me to do. If you're not bringing something to the table, then you might not be ready for a relationship with me. And I've got something to do. In text, God gave him somebody as a help me. Brothers, that does not mean he gave him somebody that was behind and beneath him, but it was someone who complemented his God-given purpose. If you are looking for a relationship, brothers and sisters, you've got to, first of all, make sure that your first relationship is vertical rather than horizontal. Some of you else are putting horizontal, however you want to imagine that, before the vertical, and you found, okay, so make sure you don't lay down, stand up first, and relate to God before you give all your goodies away. Not only that, then my brothers and my sisters, you've got to understand, you have to have a willingness to wait on the Lord. Stop trying to rush out and do it your own way, because so many times we find ourselves in bad situations and then we pray, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. I don't know what I'm going to do with her. You shouldn't have been with her if you would have waited on God. You should have been with him if you would have waited on the Lord. And then make sure you're working while you're waiting. And finally, my brothers and my sisters, you've got to be willing to give. You got to be willing to give of yourself, your time, your energies, and your love if you're going to be serious in a relationship. There's so many people, because you've been hurt before, you're guarded and you're not willing to give in a relationship, and you're wondering why it keeps failing. Text says Adam was willing to give. I'm out of your way. Brothers and sisters, God created us to be in relationship. God first created us to be in relationship with him. So it's a natural desire for us to be in relationship. As a matter of fact, psychologist Sigmund Freud has done a whole lot of study on understanding this interpersonal relationship. You've got the ed, the ego, and the superego. They try to understand all that God has done. Bottom line is that God created us to relate to interact, and to be in relationship with someone else. But never do we see Adam take that into his hands and do what God was going to do. It was God who said it's not good for Adam to be alone. But that came after he had put God first in his life. Yes. It came after he was simply doing the work. And then when God was willing to bless him, Adam had to be willing to give.
Yes.
My brothers and my sisters, put God first. Be willing to wait. And then you have to be willing to give. Let's stand. I'm out of your way. God, thank you first that you've created us to be relational people. Help us, Lord God, to focus our worship on you. We understand that the world tries to make us focus on who we are with and making sure that you're going to a wedding, you've got a partner, and you can't be single because it's snowing and you got to have cuffing. All the things that the world does to distract us from our worship of you. Help us to put you first in our lives. Help us to even admit when we've not done so. We've been so consumed with trying to find somebody that we forgot about the one who made everybody.
Thank you, God.
Help us to put you first. Then, Lord God, help us to wait. So many of us have our own time schedules as to when you're supposed to bless us. So when we're supposed to find somebody, help us to be so focused on you that you see our singleness as an issue. And then you bring the solution.
Yes, God.
Then, Lord God, help us to be willing to give. Help us not to settle for less than what you want for us. Help us to recognize, Lord God, that you're going to send us somebody that can complement us. You're going to send somebody that can help us accomplish our God-given purpose. It's
not just about making babies. It's about fulfilling that which you created us for.
Help us, Lord God, to do that. And we'll be so faithful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.